to see and to hear. It's also neat to, as we observe you guys, getting emotional as you're talking about ministering to the families there. It's neat to see that how God's been at work in your lives as you've been serving others. So thank you for that. New Life, just so you know, yes, kids, you are dismissed now. We have children's church, but you guys, as we are singing, I just want to let you know that you sounded beautiful. If you're thinking, hey, Pastor Michael, I don't have a great voice, what do you mean? Or maybe you're thinking your faith is even just a little bit as you are singing. You need to know that as you sing unto the Lord, you sound beautiful to Him. So I love to listen to you guys sing praises to the Lord. So just need to be a part of that this morning. So glad that each one of you are here. Let me go ahead and pray for us, and then we'll get into the book of 1 Samuel. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another opportunity, God, to be together with our church family. Father, we are so very different, come from so many different backgrounds and so many different experiences. But God, we are gathered here this morning because we have been drawn here by You. We have been drawn here by the love of Your Son, Jesus Christ. So God, thank You for what we have in common. We have Christ in common. And God, we pray now that as we open up Your Word, Father, we pray that You would give us the spiritual ears to hear. God, that You would open our eyes so that we would see You. God, I pray that as we think about Your Word, as we think about how You talk to us, how You communicate to us, God, I pray that this morning that You would give us a deep hunger and desire to know You, to be with You, to learn about You in Your Word. And God, I pray that You would change our lives, change our church, change this city and this world, Lord, the power of Your Word. We love You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So it's so good to see everyone. If you guys would be so kind, if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3, this is going to be our text for us this morning. And man, this is a passage that if you've grown up in the church or if you're just familiar with Old Testament Bible stories, this is a story that you've heard on a number of occasions. And it is just neat to hear how God was at work then and what He wants to do in our lives today. So what we're going to be talking about, and this is going to become clear as we unpack this text, as we think about the story, is how does God speak to us today? Is God still speaking to us today? What does that look like? What does that mean? When I hear someone say that I heard God say to me, when I hear that, I must confess, it makes me a little bit nervous. Does it make anyone else nervous? Don't raise your hand. It does. It makes me a little nervous. Now, I'm not saying that He hasn't, but the reason that makes me nervous is because people confuse who God is and how He is trying to communicate to us many times. There have been people, men and women, who have started cults because they supposedly have heard from God. We know this, right? Supposedly they have heard a word from the Lord, and this is how some false religion has started. There have been men and women who have left their family, run off with someone from work because they heard a word from the Lord. God is telling me to do this. So there is all kinds of confusion out there when it comes to how does God communicate to us? And so what we're going to be doing this morning is we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture here. And of course, we're in the book of 1 Samuel, so we're going to be talking about Samuel and how he heard from the Lord. So there's a lot of application here for us, a lot for us to consider. So let me go ahead and read. This is starting at verse 1, 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. Now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, I did not call, lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go, lie down, and if he, God, calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Verse 15. Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, Here I am. And Eli said, What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him and said, It is the Lord, let him do what seems good to him. And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So, as we have been looking at the book of 1 Samuel, and hopefully you have been here the past couple Sundays, so you've been tracking with the story, we see God is at work. And one of the things, if you've already lost sight of this or you did not know, one of the things to keep in mind when it comes to 1 Samuel, this is approximately 1100 BC. So this is about 1,000 years before the time of Jesus Christ. And what is one of the main things, we've talked about this on a couple of occasions, what's one of the main things going on in the nation of Israel at this time? What's one of the big transitions that's taking place? I'll help you out. One of the big transitions that's taking place for the nation of Israel is they have been under the authority of a group of men known as judges. And in 1 Samuel, what we're going to be seeing is this, this changes from being ruled by judges to being ruled by kings. And so this book, as you might expect, once you understand that, is important just to understand how God is doing a new thing in the midst of His people. And so this really isn't unique, but it's important to know during this time of transition, it's really important that the nation of Israel is hearing from God. That they know what God wants them to do and how they should live. They need His wisdom desperately, but they are having a hard time hearing from Him. Of course, we're going to talk about that. So let me just real quickly retell the story for you, kind of leads up to this point. First, chapter 2 begins with the godly example of Hannah and her family. If you haven't had the opportunity to really study Hannah, I would encourage you to do that. Go back over the first couple of chapters. Just this godly woman who was crying out to God. She was not able to have children, and she was in despair about this, crying out to God, and He delivered her, made it possible for her to have children. She ends up worshiping God and praising Him for giving her a son. Second, Hannah, another thing that has been going on, Hannah is contrasted in the rest of chapter 2 and 3 with the wicked family of Eli. Now, if that seems kind of strong to you, this Eli, who is, keep this in mind, he is what? What does he do for a living, Eli? He's a priest. So it sounds a little bit shocking to say that Eli And his sons were wicked. But as we think about this passage of Scripture, that is in fact the case. They are wicked. They are in a, listen, they are in a position of leadership, spiritual leadership as priests, handling the things of God, and they are living wickedly. So this is one of the things that is going on in Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, is Samuel and Hannah are being contrasted with Eli and these spiritual leaders. Contrast being made. So, yes, well, what? Just so we know, we have our facts straight. When it comes specifically to what was going on with Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, fun names to say, but his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, what exactly were they getting into? Well, there was a couple of things that they were doing that they shouldn't do. One of them is the sacrifices that would come into the tabernacle. They were taking sacrifices, food sacrifices that belonged to God, and they were taking too great of a portion for themselves. So that was number one. But then the other thing that they were doing is in the tabernacle where God's presence was at, they were actually sleeping with the women who were there at the tabernacle, supposedly to serve God. So God's people desperately need to hear from God. This is a time when leadership is, it's really important that the people are hearing from God through their leaders. And what are Eli and his two sons doing? They're thinking about themselves. They're taking sacrifices that don't belong to them. And they are living very immorally. I point that out just so you know, when we say that they are living wickedly, that in fact is the case. So moms and dads, we'll come back to this in just a moment when it comes to parenting. Eli, man, Eli gave the impression at times of being an okay father. Because he would verbally, sometimes he would say things to his kids to get them to change. But this prophet comes in and we learn that he was a very passive father when it comes to spiritual leadership. Something for us as fathers and moms and dads to be thinking about. So they were wicked, there's no doubt about it. So that's really the third thing. The fourth thing is this, is Eli receives a visit from a prophet who brings a word of judgment against Eli, his sons and his future descendants. So if you're like, well, I don't know, Eli, maybe he was okay. The fact of the matter is this, the prophet comes in and tells Eli very clearly, listen, you should have done something with your sons. You should have removed them from serving as priests. You should have done something to stop that evil behavior. Then fifth and last, and then we'll move on. In 3:1, go ahead and look there if you have your Bible. Verse 1 in chapter 3, and this is really the important kind of critical verse to understanding what's going on in this section of Scripture. I'm going to read it again. Now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. You ever struggled with a bad boss? Take note from Samuel on how well he did as obeying God at the same time living under just this horrible, chaotic, wicked conditions. But yet he stayed faithful. And here's the important part. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. And again, that is the problem that you find in 1 Samuel 3. That's it. That's the issue. The people of God were desperate to hear from God, and the word of God wasn't coming. There were no visions. There was no prophets that were speaking. It was silence. And so what we have to understand is, well, why is that the case? What was going on and what is there for us to learn? So we're going to do that. We'll explore this. Here's the first thing that I want to point out as we think about how this applies to you and I today. The first thing is this. God still speaks to us today. God still speaks to us today. Do you guys believe that? God absolutely speaks to us today. As I have already said, in this passage of Scripture, this is a time when they really needed to hear from God. That if they were going to move out, if they were going to act and live in a way that they needed to live, they needed to hear from God to get His instructions, and yet it was silent. And the result of this, the result of not hearing from God, the result of not hearing His Word, it had devastating consequences. So what a powerful reminder for us. How often does that happen to us? I mean, there is a consequence for you and I when we're not listening to God. But it's not just you. It's not just your spiritual well-being that's at stake, mom and dad. Because it wasn't just Eli that it was affected. It was his family. It wasn't just his family that was affected. It was the entire nation. And so this is, again, a reminder for us. If you and I are thinking, well, this is just between God and I, and I know that it's I'm not in the Word like I should be. I'm not listening. And so maybe I'm not living up to how He wants me to live. But that's just between God and I. You need to know this is having an impact on other people. They need to know. They need to see that the Word of God is working in you. And we need to be convinced that God can still speak to us today. I want to make a distinction here so you kind of understand maybe what I'm pushing up against. I want to make this clear. I believe God works miraculously, okay? So when I see that God in the New Testament had worked miracles, I believe that God can still work miracles today. If you don't believe that, I think it's weird, you know, and it's crazy. God is all powerful. I don't want to put God in a box. One of the things that we know in Scripture is this, is that God speaks, we have seen it in Scripture, God speaks in a number of different ways, right? We just got done with the book of Revelation. One of the things that we learned with the Apostle John is that God spoke to the Apostle John how? Like through visions, intense visions, like Woodstock-type visions, right? It'd be crazy visions. I'm having a little fun with it. They were divine visions. He wasn't on drugs. So my point is this, is that yes, if you look at Scripture, you would be forced to say, and it's good, is that God does speak in a lot of different ways. But one of the things that we know is this, is that for you and I today, yes, we don't want to put God in a box, but here's what we have to be convinced of. The primary way that God speaks to you and I today is through the Word of God. This book right here, the primary way that He speaks to us, this book right here is divine. It is in a position of authority over your life. So what I want to say is this, is we do have to be careful about all these other ways that we believe that God is speaking to us. Not to say, please hear me, I'm not saying that there's no other way that God can communicate to us. That's not what I'm saying. But what we have to do is we have to evaluate everything in light of the Word of God. So that's the main thing that I want to communicate here. The normal day-to-day way that God speaks to us is through His Word. Okay, so what kind of problems might be caused if we are, you know, maybe we're not in the Word like we should be. And maybe what we're doing is we're trying to discern God and the Holy Spirit in a variety of other ways. I put out a fleece or there's a sign. What can happen if we're kind of living life like that? Tim Keller tells a true story that I think illustrates this pretty well about how we can get in trouble not having this book filling our hearts and minds and seeing it as the primary way that God speaks to us. He tells a story about George Whitefield. George Whitefield, some people would say, church historians would say, that he's probably one of the greatest preachers of all time in church history. So that's quite, you know, a neat thing to be able to put on your resume. I'm one of the greatest of all times. Hopefully he didn't do that because then he would have been proud, wouldn't have been a good preacher. But George Whitefield and his wife Elizabeth, at one point in time, his wife Elizabeth got pregnant. And as she got pregnant, both George and Elizabeth had this impression that their son was born, a boy. They had this impression that he was going to be a great preacher, kind of like dad. And that because of him, there were going to be all kinds of revivals that were going to spring from him and his spiritual leadership and his preaching. And not just that, but George actually told his congregation, I have received this from the Lord. I want you to know that my son, that Elizabeth and I are going to have, that he is going to be a great preacher and God is going to use him in a mighty way. Does anyone know how the story goes? 4 months after their son was born, he died. 4 months after his son was born, he died. And this was a very traumatic time for George Whitfield and his wife Elizabeth. Of course, there's just the natural process of grieving the loss of your son. But what he realizes this is that what he thought was something that he was receiving from the Lord, this word from the Lord, what he realizes, it wasn't from God at all. And he actually had to go back and confess, like, I was so excited about having this boy, and now I need to confess to you, that wasn't from the Lord at all. And so here's what Tim Keller writes, concluding this story about George and Elizabeth. He writes this, and I think this is a good lesson for us. The lesson here is not that God never guides our thoughts or prompts us to choose wise courses of action, but that we cannot be sure He is speaking to us unless we read it in the Bible. Do you guys believe that? So anytime you or I or we hear someone say, you know, I have received a word from the Lord, yes, I am going to be a little bit nervous because I have seen how that has played out before. But what we ought to do is this. You know what? Let's listen to the Word of God. Is that in alignment with the Word of God? Because we absolutely know that we can trust this. This book never makes a mistake. This book is powerful. And so we always want to listen to the Word of God and whatever someone has to say, compare it to what we hear in Scripture. I already said that I wanted to just give us a little warning as parents. And I could have made this an entire sermon just when it comes to parenting. This whole passage about Eli and Phinehas and Hophni. Could have made this a sermon unto itself about parenting. But just again to say this, moms and dads, get a clue, please, from this passage of Scripture. Here is a man who everyone thought that he was a spiritual leader, Eli. And he was to some degree, but he was not the dad that he should be. And the reason why we can say that is because his sons were getting into all kinds of trouble, and he wasn't being the man that God wanted him to be by stopping that behavior. Now, I'm not talking about being an ogre. But I mean, we, as parents, we have a spiritual responsibility to our kids. Moms and dads, are we entering into the world of our kids, and are we providing spiritual leadership? It's not an easy thing to do, is it? It takes time, and it's messy, and there's a game on TV to watch, right? And we just want our kids to parent themselves. That's why we send them to youth group. That's why we send them to Kyle. Kyle, disciple my kids. So as you think about this story, there's so many lessons, but I just want to bring that before us because I think that's an important part of what's going on here. Again, Eli and Phinehas and Hophni and then Samuel and Hannah, and we need to pick which path we're going to follow. God is speaking to us today, that much is sure. No doubt about it. What are some reasons that we do not hear Him? God is speaking to us. Think about this. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll go ahead and do it now. But think about this. You know in Genesis how it says that God spoke and created the universe? Right? I mean, He created out of nothing. Right? We think we're pretty cool when we have like a canvas and paint and we create something. We think that's pretty cool. God had nothing. He spoke and created the universe. That's the power of God's Word. That power is right here. So you have to ask yourself, do you really believe that? Do you really believe this book is that powerful? Guys, brothers and sisters, we need to be convinced of it. You go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 will tell you the key to spiritual revival. Well, that's pretty exciting. Well, what's the key? The key to spiritual revival is the Word of God. So if moms, dads, if you want your family to change, what needs to happen? You need to be in the Word. If we want our church to change, we need to be in the Word. This is the key to it all right here, how God speaks to us. So, with that said, what are some reasons that we don't hear from God? Barriers, so to speak. The first one is this. Sin. No shock, right? Sin. Let's go back over this just real quick. Look at verse 12. 3:12. Is that right? Yeah. Look at verse 12. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. Again, this is this message coming to Eli about all their sin. Now look at verse 22. 22. No, not, sorry. Got ahead of myself there again. Oh, I'm sorry. Go back to chapter 2, verse 22. Flip back a page. Now Eli was very old and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing. He kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel and how they lay with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So for Eli and for his sons, there was rampant sin going on. So this is a major hindrance to them being able to hear from God. And if you think about Eli, and you think about some of his other behavior, there are little signs that something was off with Eli spiritually. For example, do you remember when Hannah came to the tabernacle and she was praying? What did Eli think that was really going on? He thought she was drunk. So this is supposed to be this wise spiritual leader. Here this woman is praying her heart out to God, and he's confused and thinks that she's drunk. We already know that he's overlooking the sin of his kids. But then there's also the example of God speaking to Samuel. Samuel keeps going to Eli, and Eli is so apathetic. He's such a poor spiritual leader that Samuel is coming to him and saying, "You're talking to me, right? I keep hearing this voice." Eli is not sharp enough to know when God is truly speaking. But it makes me think, how often are you and I like this? How often do things come into our life, sinful things come into our life, and leaves us in a position where it's really hard for us to hear from God? We're evangelicals, right? Do you guys like that word? It's part of the name of our church, so don't answer the question. New Life Evangelical Free Church. And evangelicals, we love to learn. We love to learn. We love to have our Bible studies. We love to learn new things, highlight things in our Bible, and that's good. But one of the things that happens to us is this, if we're not careful, is we can be learning things, and we can keep learning things past our level of obedience. Have you ever been in a Bible study for like years and years and years and you keep learning new things about the Bible, but then you look back, you're like, we never actually did any of it. Like we kept learning new things, but then we never really lived it out. Here's my point. Sin was a major problem for Eli and his boys. Like the Word of God was not going to come anymore. 3:1 tells us that specifically. So my challenge for us is this. If you have thought, you know what, it's been a while since I've heard from the Lord. Here's my question for you. Are you stuck in a pattern of sin that is keeping you from being able to hear from God? Why in the world would God want to give you new revelation? Why in the world would God want to give you something new that you are to obey when you are here this morning? You're like, I'm not obeying what I already know. And so what we have to do is we have to admit myself at the top of the front of the list is that sometimes there is sin in our life that we're not willing to surrender so we can no longer hear from God. We read His Word and it's like, it's just words. It feels powerless. So, what do you need to do? 1 Samuel, every book in the Bible points us to Jesus Christ. Here at New Life Church, we know that. Every book of the Bible points us to Jesus Christ. The reason I say that is this, is because what you and I need to do, some of us, is we need to confess our sins. We need to go before God and say, God, it's been so long since I've been able to hear from you. It's been so long since I've sensed your power in my life. And we need to get on our knees. We need to confess our sins. And we need to turn our eyes to Jesus Christ, right? without the blood of Jesus Christ, without what He did on the cross, it's impossible for us to have our sins forgiven. Okay, so sin. Sin is one of the reasons. There's a couple other reasons here that we can't hear from God. Here's the next one, is that we're not listening. We're just not listening. Do any of you feel a little too busy these days? Raise your hand if you felt a little too busy over the past week. Okay, wow, the vast majority of you are not too busy. Wow, I would never have guessed that. And so that just means most of us do, but you don't want to raise your hand. We guys, listen, we get so busy. Think about this. Think about the insanity of this. We get so busy with our own little agenda, our own little life. We get so busy with it that we don't have time to listen to the Creator of the universe. Is that not insanity? God wants to shape your life. He wants to change your life. He wants to soften your heart. But we get so busy doing other things that we don't have time to listen to God. That's craziness. Here's another problem. We prefer new and exciting things over faithful obedience. Let me say it again. We prefer new and exciting over faithful obedience. How many of you can remember the last time God worked in a powerful way? You were in the mountain somewhere. Or maybe you were at some amazing worship conference and you really sensed the presence of God. Or maybe there was some kind of experience. And so in your mind, unfortunately, what has happened is you assume that you need to go to that place or it needs to happen like this in a very dramatic way for God to speak to you. And this is a lie. God wants to speak to us every single day through His Word. And so, are we making time for it? Here's another one. We have lost our awe. A-W-E. We have lost our awe. How many of us would admit that when it comes to the idea of getting into the Word of God on a daily basis, how many of us would just admit that it just seems kind of boring? That it just seems kind of boring. That happens to all of us. It happens to all of us, but we also have to know that that's a very dangerous thing. Because what that means is we've lost sight of how God can change us, how He wants to work in us, how He wants to work in our family. So in order, what I'm praying for is this today, is that there would be a renewed hunger in your life, in our life, to know God through His Word. One of the things that we will need to do is we'll need to confess, God, I've found Your Word to be kind of boring. How boring do you think your iPhone is? How boring do you think social media is? How boring do you think Netflix is? Right? These are things you're like, oh yeah, we'll binge and we'll watch 10 hours of House of Cards, but we won't spend any time actually in the Word of God. And it's not because this isn't amazing. It's not because it's not powerful. It's because we've been seduced, we've been tricked, we've been lied to by the enemy. We've lost our sense of awe. So, what happens? Here's my last point. What happens when we listen to God? What happens? When we listen to God, we find deep meaning and purpose in life. We find deep meaning and purpose in life. When God spoke to Samuel, He told him to prophesy against Eli. He told him, you know, I'm going to communicate to you. Then I want you to go to Eli and tell him what's going to happen. So what was God up to? As you think about God speaking to Samuel, and then Samuel going to Eli, what was going on? Well, the word of the Lord, God's word came to Samuel, and he was to communicate this message to Eli. But what was the bigger picture? The bigger picture is this, is that the nation of Israel, God's people, we are God's people, desperately needed to hear from the Lord. And so, and Eli needed to be a man of God, which he was not. But for you and I, we need to remember, to be the people of God that we are called to be, we need the Word of God. We can't have one without the other. So as God was speaking to Samuel, as he was communicating to him, yes, audibly, it appears, audibly. What we know from this is that God was at work. He wasn't just trying to teach him a new fact about the end times. He wasn't just trying to teach him something interesting from the Old Testament. What he was trying to do is he had a divine plan. He was trying to work through their life in a new way. And in order for that to happen, they needed to be obedient to God's word. God wants to give your life meaning and purpose. How many of you think that you find meaning and purpose from your job? How many of us think that? How many of us ultimately think we find meaning and purpose from our family? Or from just, this is my agenda. I'm going to live this long and then I'm going to retire. And that's how I define what purpose is. You need to know that there is a much greater purpose for us. Listen, guys, brothers and sisters, I mean, God wants to work in you in a powerful way. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? God wants to use you. He wants to use you in the life of your family. He wants to use you in the life of your colleagues. And the only way that that can happen is if we're really submitting ourselves to God and to His Word and the authority of His Word in our life. I love books. I'm a nerd. I love books. I love stories. One of the reasons why I love a good story, whether it's in a movie or a TV show or in a book, is because there's a plot, right? There's a plot to it. And it's exciting. I'm not so big into explosions and all that. I know that kind of diminishes your view of me as a man, right, in your eyes. But to me, it's more about the plot and the drama, what's going on, the characters and all that, and what's really happening. And one of the things that we need to be reminded of is this, guys, is that there is a story unfolding all around us every single day. There are things that God is doing all around us every single day. God has saved you not just so that you can attend a worship service on Sunday morning. If that was all there is to it, how lame would that be? If this is all there is to Christianity, then I don't want it. I mean, it's so much more than this. God is calling each one of you into His story. He wants to use you for His purposes. And so if you are feeling this morning like, man, I'm bored. I'm bored with my job. I'm bored with my spouse. I'm bored with my kids. I wish there was some sense of purpose. Let me ask you a question. If that's the case, would you say that you have been immersing your heart and mind in the Word of God? Because if you have been doing that, what God wants to do is He wants to speak to you. He wants to shape you. He wants to mold you. And He wants to use you. When God is using you, it is not going to be boring. Do you believe that? There's nothing boring to what God wants to do in our life. Here's my final question for us. I want you to take this seriously, please. Do you long to see spiritual growth take place in your life? Moms, dads, do you desire to see spiritual transformation happen in you and in your family? Do we really desire, I know this sounds crazy, do we desire to see revival happen in our church? Well, Michael, someone has to write a new book about that so that we know where revival comes from. Right? We need a new study. We're waiting for Beth Moore or Tim Keller to write a new study. Then we know where revival comes from. But that's not true. What we need to do is we need to humble ourselves and we need to remember as we come before God, He speaks to us through His Word. You are going to find purpose and meaning and find that life is worth living if we are immersing our hearts and minds in God's Word. And not just learning new things, but actually going into deeper levels of obedience. Is that us? Let me pray for us. Dearly Father, God, I pray again for myself. God, we admit together. we admit together that it's easy for us to take your word for granted. God, it's easy for us to assume that we kind of know those stories. God, I pray that you would give each one of us a renewed love for your word. God, not just to learn new things, but God, because it teaches us about you. So Father, I pray that you would bring spiritual renewal to our families, to our marriages, to our relationships, to this church and the city. And God, we pray that you would do that as we become a people who are deeply committed to your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.